And please take your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1220. We'll be reading verses 9 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 through 14. We'll read these verses responsively. The text verse is the 13th verse. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And let's pray. Our gracious dear Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for all that we have and enjoy and know, and all the blessing of being a part of this work. It's so very special, and we thank thee. Thank you for those who are here visiting with us. We pray for thy blessing upon each one. Please help us, meet with us. And, O Holy Spirit, we pray that thou wouldst empower our preacher and give us spirit-filled hearts of desire to listen and to hear and to yield to thee. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
I have a fear this morning that because of our wounded air conditioning, that some of you will not listen as you would if all of our air conditioners were working. I assure you that what I'm going to say this morning is very needful for you to hear. I'm going to speak this morning on a very unusual subject, backsliding, part of spiritual growth. Backsliding, a necessary part of spiritual growth. I do want you to listen. If you fellows want to take off your coats, that's perfectly all right with me. And to be comfortable as you can. You folks who came in late, I announced a while ago that we have three air conditioning units. One of them temporarily is not working. We're working on it and trying to get it fixed, but you may feel free to be comfortable as possible. Please, for a few minutes, listen to me as I give you what I think is one of the great truths of the Christian life, and I think one of the great needs that you'll ever have. As I speak on the subject, backsliding, a necessary part to spiritual growth. Our Heavenly Father, here we are as thy people this morning assembled in this place in thy name. Before us is thy book. Help us to find what you have for us. Please. Amen. I want to just read this for you, and you listen very carefully. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That means every temptation that you have, every other Christian in the world has. Same temptation you have, I have. Same temptation you have, Brother Colston has. Same temptation you have, Dr. Robertson has. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Now listen carefully. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. God says, everybody has the same temptation you have. But I will not let you be tempted beyond the possibilities of resistance. Goes on to say, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now follow me very carefully. You got saved. For the first time in your life, you realized that your sins were forgiven. You understood that your name was written in heaven. You understood that the blood of Christ covered your sin. You're a child of God. You're born again. You're saved. A whole new world has opened to you. All is new and exciting. But now, wait a minute. You say, I'll never go back. And you mean that. But all of a sudden, one day, you do go back. And you're shocked. You do something that you had done before that you said you would never do again. Did you use profane language before you got saved? And for a season, you did not. And then all of a sudden, one day, you did. Whatever it is, every single Christian who's ever lived has been through exactly what I just mentioned. You got saved, sins forgiven, on your way to heaven, redeemed, born again, name written in heaven, saved from hell. And every one of us said, thank God. Thank God I'm delivered from the old life. And then every single one of us suddenly one day took a journey of some proportion backwards to the places we thought we'd never go, and did some things we thought we'd never do, and said some things we thought we'd never say. Now listen to me carefully. This is the most important time in your Christian life. That time when you've fallen back. That time when you've backslidden. Now follow me carefully. What you do at that time determines your entire future. That time when you go back. Now, I want you to say, I want to say several things that you ought to do. And the first place, when you do all of a sudden find yourself, see, you've been growing like this in grace. And all of a sudden, you slide back some. And you're stunned. You thought you would never do it. First thing I want to say, I want you to realize you're not lost. That's important. You didn't lose what you got. You got born again. You're always born again. So you're not lost. Don't forget that. You're not lost. You're still saved. And I'm talking to folks right now who have backslidden. You have done some things recently you thought you'd never do, said some things you thought you'd never say, been to some places you thought you'd never go, and you're stunned. Now, in the first place, do not for a single second forget this. You're not lost again. Second thing. You must realize at that time that you are two natures. There is a nature in you that is a new nature, that was born again. You are a new creature, or you have a new creation in you, the new birth. But you must also realize that you still have the old nature. There is a battle going on. And there are two natures. And then, number three, you must realize that you are in a fight. Now listen, folks, if you don't realize you're in a fight, you'll end up back in the same hog pen from which you came. And all of a sudden, you'll just despair. Oh, it's no need. It's not worth it. I can't do it. Here I am back where I was. Now listen carefully. First, realize that you're not lost again. Second, realize you have two natures. Third, realize those two natures are fighting against the other for supremacy in your life. Four, realize you can win. You can win. There's a fight going on, but you can win. You have the wherewithal in you to win against the old nature. The apostle said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. But now, because we're going to win the fight doesn't mean we win every round. Because we're going to win the fight doesn't mean we won't get knocked down sometime during the fight. You must realize that this setback is a part of your spiritual growth. Let me give you these 6 points again. One, realize that you're not lost. Two, realize that you are two natures. When you got saved, you didn't substitute a new nature for the old nature. You added a new nature to the old nature.
And the old nature is trying to fight the new nature from reading the Bible, from praying, from going to church, from living right, from winning souls. He's trying to cause the old, he's trying to fight the new, and the new nature is trying to fight the old nature to do good. But you must realize that you can win in the fight. And you must realize that you will get knocked down. And lastly, you must realize that the setback, your backsliding, is a part of your spiritual growth. Let me illustrate. Who is the best running back, yard-wise, in the history of football? Tell me out loud. Walter Payton. Ask another question. What running back in the history of football has been tackled the most? Walter Payton. So Walter Payton, the greatest running back in the history of football, has been knocked down more than any other body that's ever, any player that's ever carried a football. What does that mean? That means that the more you carry the ball, the more you'll get knocked down. And being knocked down is a part of your winning the battle. Let me just say it again. Here's a football team, and they have the ball. They're going this way. This is the one goal line is down here, one goal line is down here. And the team that has the ball is going this way. Now, what do? They push the ball forward. Now they have the ball. The line of scrimmage is where the ball is. And the quarterback gets up behind the center and takes the ball from the center. Now, what does he do? He does one of two things. I'll guarantee you, he does one of two things. He either throws the ball or hands the ball backward. Now, backward. So that the fella who gets the ball, who has momentum, can go this much farther forward. Or the quarterback takes the ball and fades back himself and throws the ball that it may go farther forward. So here is the way to a touchdown. That's the way to a touchdown. That's the way to spiritual victory too. You're not going to win every round, but God says you can win the fight. You're not going to stay on your feet all the time. The enemy is going to knock you down some, but you have the wherewithal in the form of the Holy Spirit to win the battle, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, and you don't have to lose the battle if you'll keep on going. Any fight's that way. Any growth is that way. When I was a boy, they had not invented the power mowers. We had the old-fashioned push mowers. And this is the way you did it. You pull that mower back. Had a little roller on the end of it. And you put your foot on that roller and you pushed it and you pushed that mower. And you pulled it back. And you pushed it forward. Back. Forward. Back. Forward. Back. Forward. Back. Forward. And that's the way we mowed the yard in those days. And that's the way the Christian life is. The Christian life is forward. But you don't fall back as far as you were. So you go forward again, and you don't fall back as far as you were. We never took that mower as far back as we had it before, because it made some progress. Now, the Christian life is that way. You make some progress. You fall back, but not back to here. You fall back to here. Make some more progress. You fall back, but not back to here. You fall back to here. You make some more progress. That's where the Christian life is. You see, anybody here back in the old, I feel sorry for you young folks that never had the old dirt roads. But remember how you used to get stuck in a car on a dirt road? Or you do it in the snow up here in the wintertime. You do it in the snow. Oh, doesn't snow sound good right now? But anyway, the way you get unstuck, you go forward. And then you put it in reverse, right? And you go backward. And then you go forward again real fast. And you go a little farther forward. Then you put it in reverse. Like that. And you go forward a little farther. And backward and farther. And backward and farther. And backward and farther. Remember, we used to push the car, try to push the car off, and you couldn't get it pushed, and you rocked it. Remember? You push the car, let it come back. Push it, let it come back. Push it, let it come back. Let me show you the Christian life. Brother Colston, stand down on the bottom. Don't fall. Stand so you use these steps right here. Stand on the big left, the long step there. All you got to do is listen and obey, son. All right? Now, walk up the step slowly. Now, that is not the way Christians grow. Now, go back down there. That's not the way Christians grow. Take a step up and stop. Another and stop. Another and stop. And that's not the way Christians grow. The Christian growth is not full speed ahead. Go back down. Take two steps up. One step back. Two steps up. One step back. Two steps up. You getting tired? One step back. Two steps up. One step back. Two steps up. One step back. A step up. And that's the way you grow. That's the Christian growth. But here's what you do. Take two steps up. Now step back. Now right there is where you get discouraged.
Fool on it! I thought I could do it! I'm back where I was!
No, you feel like you're back where you were, but you're not back where you were. Now you feel like you're deeper than you were because you've been higher than you were. And you feel worse because you're where you are now than you felt when you were lower. Because for the first time in your life, you're going backward. But right where you are, that's the time. You've got to watch it there. New Christians, please listen to me. You're not ever going to constantly grow up like that. And you're not going to grow and plateau and then grow and plateau. No, that's not the way you'll do it. Because you're in a battle. There's somebody against you. You're going upstream. There's a devil. And there's the devil's angels and all of his imps. And there's the world and there's the flesh. And they're after you. And they'll fight you all the way till you get to heaven. But thank God, you don't have to lose. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to lose if you won't give up. But here's what you do. Step back. Two steps forward. Boy, that there's a good feeling, isn't it? Glory to God. Woo! Man alive. What a life! And then all of a sudden, step backward. And you get discouraged. And you say, I can't make it. So what do? And on your own, you go back down. And before you know it, you go back down again. And you're deeper than you were. But I'll tell you something. The last two steps down, you took. Thank you, Brother John. Now that's the Christian life. It's like Brother John did. It's two steps up, one step down. 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 Now, by the way, the step down is as much a part of your Christian growth as the two steps up. Now, I'll tell you why. Because if you kept on going two steps up, three steps up, four steps up, you'd get proud. But when God allows you to fall a step down, then you realize you can't make it by yourself. You realize you're not so hot, but He is so hot. That you can't do it in the flesh, but you can do it through His Spirit. And so you yield yourself to Him and take two steps up. And then pretty soon He lets you go down a step to let you know who's the boss man and where the power's from, where the victory comes from. And then you take a step, all of a sudden you realize, I've taken a step down, and you go back up. But here's what happens. And here's what's happening right now. The people in this room, you grew in grace, and all of a sudden you fell down a bit. I want to say three statements quickly about that. One is, life is never full speed ahead. In no endeavor is it full speed ahead.
This church hasn't grown full speed ahead. We have not had more people the next Sunday than we've been every Sunday since this church has been going on for 100 years. Here's where this church has grown. Growth down. Growth down. Growth down. Growth down. I have a chapter in one of my books called How High Are Your Valleys? You're not as good a Christian as your height. You're as good a Christian as the height of your depths. If your depths can keep getting higher, you're growing in grace. First observation, Christian life is never full speed ahead. Second observation, now follow me carefully. The first fall is never all the way back. Don't miss that. Don't miss it. The first fall is never all the way back. God will not let you fall back. There's a place. The first fall is never all the way back. Now you think it's all the way back because you've been up. And you lived on a flat level so long, down at the bottom so long, when you got up, you learned to fall. But I want to say this. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, and also with the temptation make a way to escape. And when you find yourself having gone back a step, after you've gone up 2 steps, I want to remind you, God will never let you fall all the way back. Now, you may choose because of discouragement to go all the way back. You may decide yourself. When you find yourself all of a sudden someday, look, there are 2 types of sin. There is sin that is done on the spur of the moment. And there is premeditated sin that is done purposely. There is sin, all of a sudden you hit your nail with a hammer and you didn't curse before now for several weeks and you hit your finger with a hammer. And before you know it, you find yourself saying dirty brick, a brack, a back, a loomer, a botch, a botch, a slatter rip. And, oh, I never thought I'd say that again. You didn't mean to say it then. So you fall back a step. But what happens? Then you say, well, if I'm cussing, I may as well go ahead and cuss. Can't win it anyway. No, you will never probably completely rise above it, but bless God, you can grow in grace, and you can rise higher, and then fall higher. You know what I said? Fall higher. Then rise higher, then fall higher, then rise higher, then fall higher. And if you can bring your depths up, that's the way you grow in grace. But you're going to have your depths. The Christian life is not like that. The Christian life is not like that. The Christian life is like that. You fall a step, and you go forward, rise 2 steps, and you go backward a step, and you go forward 2 steps, and you go backward a step, and you go forward 2 steps. You will always go backward some as long as you live. I try to live on a level plane if I can, consistent plane. But I must admit that I get happy and then less happy, but never as unhappy as I was the last time. And then happier and then less happy and then happier. I'll read this Bible and I'll love it dearly and reach a mountain peak. But then I'll go down, but not as far down as I was. Then I'll go beyond that, reach another Bible mountain peak. I'll go down, but not as far as I was. Now I want to make 3 other observations. Why did you get discouraged? And why are you here this morning discouraged? I've already implied these things. First, it seemed worse because you were in the habit of going forward. And now you have a new feeling. You're going backward for the first time in your Christian life. And that's not much fun. And you thought it would never happen. Well, let me tell you, it's going to happen. I don't know who the best Christian here in this house is, but how he got up there was like this and not like that. He got up there by going backwards a step and forwards 2 steps and backwards a step and forward 2 steps and backwards a step and forward 2 steps, and that's the way he grew in grace. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not what you used to be, as far as the heights are concerned, jump up and down and say, hallelujah, I'm still not what I used to be as far as the depths are concerned. Second reason you got discouraged, because it seemed deeper, because you had been higher. And for the first time, you have fallen. You've not felt that sensation before. But for the first time, you have fallen. Let me remind you that though you seem that it seems to you, you may have fallen deeper than where you were, you have not fallen deeper than where you were. Now I'll tell you why. Because where you were
You didn't care if you were deep or not. And the very fact that you're concerned about it is proof of what I'm saying. Because you don't want to fall, and you said, oh, my soul, I have fallen. I've done it. I didn't mean to do it, and now I've done it. Let me tell you something, folks. You people that got saved from lives of deep sin, and I don't like to use that term because there's no shallow sin, but you got saved from a life of filth and adultery and drunkenness and lasciviousness and maybe narcotics and all kinds of rot and the depths of sin. Do you know that God does not expect you to be what we are? God expects you to be more than what you were. I have a sermon I preach sometimes, not often. Preached it here one Sunday morning and preached at the college one time a few years later, called the best Christian in this house, maybe the worst Christian in this house. What do I mean by that? When God says, be ye therefore perfect, He's saying, that's in the gradual sense, be ye therefore be being perfect. You're not as good a Christian as your height, you're a good a Christian. You're not as good a Christian as how far you are, you're as good a Christian as how far you come. So here's a person that was on narcotics, dope, heroin, crack, marijuana. And now that person's gotten up to the place to where he every once in a while smokes a cigarette, but that's all. He's a better Christian than some of you folks that never have smoked. Because he had farther to go. He went 99 yards for his touchdown. And you only had to go 5 yards for yours. So I'm saying that it seems deeper to you where you sit now. You've done something you thought you'd never do, and you look at yourself and say, here I've fallen. Let me tell you, don't look up where you were, look back where you used to be. And thank God. I like that little statement a fellow said one time. He said, I'm not what I ought to be. And by the grace of God, I'm not what I'm going to be. But thank God, I'm not what I used to be. I can prove the point. The fact that you're here this morning is proof of it. Used to, you wouldn't have been here this morning. But you came to church. Why? Because you wanted to come to church. Because it's Sunday. You're supposed to come to church. So let me say this morning, those of you who have fallen down one step, thank God that you went up two steps. And then the third thing, you feel worse than when you were lower. You feel worse about it. And you will. Now, I'm going to make a statement that's going to shock you. I don't believe in this 700 Club PTL charismatic mess that, I got saved and now I never have a worry. I don't believe in that for a second. The honest, simple truth is, you'll have more misery the better Christian you become. Because the greater Christian you become, the less you want to hurt your Savior. And the more you grow in grace, the more it'll pain you when you sin. And the higher you go, the more it's going to hurt you. And that's why you're hurt now. And that's why you feel bad now. But thank God you feel bad. That's a good sign you're going to grow some more after a while. The fellow doesn't feel bad about his sin bothers me. Just keep on two steps forward. And you'll fall a step backward. Quarterback's going to take a ball and toss it back to you, but you'll hit the line and move that line back a few yards. Then the line of scrimmage is forward now. And the quarterback will come up farther than he was before and take the ball and toss it back to you behind the line of scrimmage, but you'll not be as far back as you were a while ago because you made some yards on your last play. And so the way to a touchdown is forward and backward but not as far backward and forward, more forward and backward but not as far backward and forward but more forward, and that's the way the Christian life is. Now, let me give you just two or three things. One is, when you back on that step, Brother John, get that down there again, would you please? All right, you're growing in grace. You just got saved. And the Bible says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what do? We desire the sincere milk of the Word, the Word of God. And we come to church and we say, I'm not going to do that anymore. And we have a new life. We have new friends. We have new vocabulary. We have new habits. We have new literature. We have new music. Steps up two steps. All of a sudden, he falls back a step. Now, right there, Brother John, I want to say first, be still a while. Just be still a while. Don't do anything rash. Secondly, Ask forgiveness immediately. Thirdly, ask for help. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Ask for help! God wants to help you, and He will help you. He who is in you, who is greater than he who is in the world, wants to come to your rescue to help you. And then take that help by faith. That's how you got hired the first time. You got saved by faith, didn't you? That's the way you got those two steps. So take it by faith. Then go on with it. Back down by the Johnny Mills plate. Brother Vogel, I want you to be Jesus here, if you would. You're about to be asleep in Jesus there, so I'll wake you up. I want you to be Jesus, if you would, please. Now, here's a fellow just got saved. Aren't you glad about that? Our staff's been praying for this fellow for a long time. He just got saved. Now, I want you. Jesus says to him, don't sin. Okay, that's what he says. But ask you a question, Jesus. You think he's going to sin? But you don't want him to sin. Okay. So Brother Colston, this new Christian, is saved. Now then he begins to grow in grace, takes two steps forward. He feels great. Remember how you felt? He feels great. And all of a sudden the evil one comes, he takes a step backward. Now what happens? Number one, just be still a while, Brother John. Number two, ask God to forgive you. Number three, ask God to give you help. Now that takes us to 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you so that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. That word advocate is the word paraclete or comforter, which means a runner to our side. Now when you've fallen back that step, thank God you're not two steps backward, you're just one step backward. But as soon as you look up and say, oh God, give me help, Jesus comes to his side. And picks him back up. Good. That's the way you did it. And Jesus is still there. And they take another step up. And so Brother Colston says, Jesus, I don't need you anymore. I can make it by myself. Jesus comes up. Stay there. So what happens? He falls back. What happens? He asks forgiveness. Then what happens? He asks Jesus to help him. Jesus comes to his side, brings him back where he was. And then he grows in grace some more. Then he grows in grace some more. And then he gets a little cocky again and says, never mind, Jesus, I'll make it by myself now. So what happens? He falls back again. Ladies and gentlemen, the battle is exactly like you just saw it. And if you ever grow in grace, that's the way you're going to grow. Because the flesh is so constructed, when we make a few spiritual advances, we think we did it, won't take the credit for it, we ask Jesus to leave us alone, and all of a sudden we fall back again. That's the way we all grow in grace. That's the way I grow in grace. I preached my 45,000th sermon a week ago last Friday night at Bob Jones University and the Sword of the Lord Convention. 45,000th sermon in my ministry. Wait a minute. Several thousand of those sermons have not been what I wish they were. You know what I've done? I may preach in a meeting somewhere, boy, and a great time is coming. I beg God to give me strength and power and a great service. And the next service, another great service, and God's blessing is there. And all of a sudden I say, boy, that one sermon I used, that's a, woo, what a sermon. I should have said, woo, what a Savior. But I said, woo, what a sermon. I'll preach that one again. So I preach it again and I forget to ask the Savior to help me. So what happens? It bombs. And then I go to my room at night by myself and I say, I'm sorry. I know what I did. That sermon, I used it a few weeks ago and we had a great meeting and I know what I did. I thought it was a sermon. Oh, God, help me. And he comes to help me. And he gets beside me and lifts me back up. And I go to preach the next night, and the power of God's there. And the next night, and the power of God's there. And the next night, and the power of God's there. And the next night, and the power of God's there. And then I get thinking, ooh, I'm a pretty good preacher. So what happens? I go back a step. And then I realize I'm not a good preacher. I have a good Savior.
And I beg him, oh, help me.
Well, why don't you beg him to help you all the time?
Same reason you don't.
I got the same old booger man after me you got after you. And sometimes he's going to win around. But blessed be God, he will not allow us, if we so choose, to lose the fight. Our Father, bless the message this morning to our hearts. Encourage somebody who's discouraged about their Christian walk. Somebody who's said, I'm just not what I ought to be all of a sudden. I may as well just ditch it all. Help them to see exactly what happened. Oh, my God, today, thank you for reminding us that it's you that does it and not ourselves. Our heads are bowed.